The story this morning from the Associated Press is that they named the NFL's trouble with domestic violence this year as their number one sports story. I know I'm just somewhat springing this upon you this afternoon, but I'm curious about your reaction.
My reaction is positive. Domestic violence, domestic abuse, whatever you want to call it, one person controlling another person's life, is something that needs the spotlight to be directly placed upon, and this is doing it. And I think what's significant is it's giving us the chance to help people understand what this abuse and this power and control is all about. And when you see that NFL player dragging his then fiance out of the elevator, she's unconscious, he appears not to have a care in the world, looking at his face, the question we were getting was, well, why did she go back? And I think, number one, we need to rephrase the question. Why does he abuse? Number two, it's important for people to understand that on average, it takes 7 to 8 attempts to permanently leave an abusive relationship. It's fear. Understand victims have been brainwashed into believing they're responsible for the abuse. They somehow deserve the abuse. They're fearful. The overwhelming emotion, I'm told, from women who have gotten out and who are still in it is shame. So they're returning to the abuse because of the trauma. I think one of the most important aspects to understand is that victims and children living in homes where victims are being abused by a boyfriend or daddy are traumatized. And trauma undermines a person's ability to think clearly, to make logical decisions, to even articulate accurately what is going on. Trauma undermines a person's ability to function. So victims of domestic violence and abuse are traumatized. They're scared to death. They're brainwashed into believing they're responsible for the abuse and they deserve it. And if they leave, that perpetrator has promised, I'll hunt you down to the ends of the earth and I will kill you. Or, you know, the children are your life. You leave, I'll kill those children. Or I'll hire the best attorney in town. You haven't worked in 15 years. You're fat, you're ugly, you don't have a single solitary job skill. You won't even have an attorney. Nobody will believe a word that comes out of your mouth. I'll be awarded custody of the kids. I'll cut off access. You'll never see them again. Oh, and by the way, I'll cut off the money. You'll be homeless. Complicated, complex reasons people return to the abuse with trauma right there, along with fear and this power and control. I think the spotlight on domestic violence following this NFL problem has helped people understand that this is not necessarily about violence, it's about control. And violence is a tool that abusers use to control their victim. I think people need to understand that abusers are phenomenally skilled at this power and control game, often with a face to the rest of the world as charming and angelic as the day is long. Problem is, these relationships start out very romantic. Obviously, they don't start abusive. Who would let anybody abuse them? Nobody. And victims fall in love with a charming angel. They're swept off their feet, and I think one of the big red flags, and we like to teach kids this at a young age, is these relationships go from 0 to 1,000 in a snap of a finger. I love you more than life itself. You are my soulmate. The thought of you being with anybody else makes me want to kill myself. You are perfect. God put you here for... Really? You went to the movies once and had 2 cell phone calls, one of which was garbled because you had a bad signal. So they start up very quickly, but victims swept off their feet by an angel. By the time the first punch or kick comes, they've been isolated from family and friends, and the game of power and control is well underway. I have a group of women ranging in age from 18 to 82 who got out of controlling, abusive, what would be classified as domestic, classic domestic violence. And they told me when they were in the midst of it, they never would have identified themselves as a victim of domestic violence or abuse. Well, what did you call it? A rocky relationship. Oh, it was a difficult relationship, a roller coaster relationship. He had anger issues. It wasn't until a friend or a neighbor or a boss or a coworker put a checklist in front of their face. Does he control your every move? Does he humiliate you publicly? This is a big key. Has he isolated you from all your family and friends? Does he know every phone call you make and every text that comes in and goes out? Does he tell you who you can hang with? And they're checking off the checklist, and it dawns on them, okay, this relationship has a name, and it's called abuse. And that's one of the first steps in helping victims. And I think the other important message that we're saying, and I think the pushback on the public when they saw the first punishment to this abuser was, wait a minute, we have to hold these people accountable. And when the NFL gets up there, and Roger Goodell got up there and said, okay, we're going to start holding players accountable. We're going to have some strict policies in place. These policies are going to trickle down to all NFL personnel. I can talk about it until I'm blue in the face.
Right.
But when somebody like Roger Goodell gets up there and says, okay, we're going to wrap our arms around this. We're going to try to understand it. We're going to try to hold these people, these abusers accountable, but we're going to keep on talking about it, and we're going to keep educating people about it. And I think that's so, so important and so key.
What does it say, though, that the initial response to this Ray Rice scenario, going back to that particular story, was not particularly punitive? And then that changed with the video and things along those lines. But is there something to be said, though, for changing attitudes in that regard, that the response was so dramatic that it actually made perhaps the most powerful business entity in the United States change the way it proceeds with this?
I think it's a very powerful message to victims who are still suffering behind closed doors. Unfortunately, the world had to see it up close and personal. A victim getting cold-cocked in an elevator by her fiancé. Horrifying as it is, I'm thinking people weren't talking about it or not getting their arms around it or not appropriately outraged until they saw it. Now they saw it, and then they saw the punishment and thought, no, 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 no. The message is, you got to hold these people accountable, and we're watching. And we're trying to get our arms around it. We want to understand. And I think that's where the domestic violence advocate stepped in and said, okay, we're going to help you, Roger Goodell. We're going to sit down with you. We're going to educate you. We're going to help you to educate your players and your coaches and their wives and the personnel that work here. So I think this is the community saying, after seeing this horrifying video, victims, this is unacceptable. Fortunately, we had to see it to really believe it. We've suspected it's been going on behind closed doors since the dawn of the ages, but now we've seen it. We're horrified. We've got to start talking about it, and we've got to start holding abusers accountable.
And then finally, this story comes out during the holidays. And if I'm not mistaken, the holidays, there is a spike of reported domestic violence issues. And maybe can you just talk about that a little, about what we do see during the holidays in that regard?
Police tend to log more domestic violence police calls. We don't see as many victims usually around the holidays, and I think that's because victims are trying to keep the family together as they move through the holidays. But after the holidays, we'll generally see an increase in the number of clients. Our message is, and this is key, nobody deserves to be abused. If you are in a difficult, controlling, abusive relationship, it is absolutely, positively not your fault. The Family Justice Center is here to help. We do safety planning. We have access to many, many different partners who can address anything and everything a person and their children need to escape, to secure safe havens, to heal, and to get a chance at a happy, healthy relationship outside the controlling relationship that they're in now.
And how can they contact the Family Justice Center or anybody that might be able to help?
The Family Justice Center, our number is 558-7233. That's 558-SAFE. If you just Google Family Justice Center, there's all sorts of numbers, and there's a checklist on there that you can go through, and lots of referrals.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.